Hello and welcome to the December 30th edition of Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. We have a good show. We're going to hear about the New Year's Eve dance at the Wharf, next weekend's safe winter driving course. We'll also learn about what's cooking at the Juno Artist Gallery, and Marion Mills and Glenn Ray will be here with information about the upcoming Tai Chi for seniors class. All that and more. Stay tuned. This is National Native News. I'm Sarah Gustavus, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. 2013 wasn't a pretty year in Washington, D.C., but Indian Country seems to be better off than when the year started. Correspondent Matt Laszlo has this look back at the highs and lows.
The year started off with a big win for Native American women. After being stalled for months, back in February, the Violence Against Women Act passed the full Congress. It included a provision allowing courts in Indian Country to prosecute non-Natives who abuse Native women. Maryland Democrat Chris Van Hollen was just glad Republican leaders gave in and allowed the Senate version to come to the floor.
When you have an extreme Tea Party wing of the Republican caucus, the only way to get moderate bipartisan legislation passed is by allowing the full House to work its will. And that's the way the place should work.
But there were setbacks, too. The Supreme Court struck a key section of the Voting Rights Act. It forced some states to get approval from the Justice Department before changing voting laws. Arizona Democratic Congressman Raul Grijalva says some lawmakers in his state previously tried to split the Navajo Nation in two.
Under Section 4 or 5, be able to go and say, you can't cut the Navajo Nation in half. And now we don't have that. We don't have that protection.
In his address at the annual Tribal Nations Conference here in Washington, President Obama told Native leaders that while much progress has been witnessed in Indian Country, more is needed.
We've created jobs, building new roads and high-speed internet to connect more of your communities to the broader economy. We've made major investments in job training and tribal colleges and universities, but the fact remains Native Americans face poverty rates that are higher by far than the national average. And that's more than a statistic, that's a moral call to action. We've got to do better.
For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
And last week, President Obama signed a measure into law that authorizes the construction of a Native American Veterans Memorial outside the National Museum of the American Indian, or NMAI. The new law amends the Native American Veterans Memorial Establishment Act of 1994. That law called for the memorial to be inside the museum. The new legislation signed by the president allows construction of the memorial outside on the Capitol Mall. The bill's main sponsor was U.S. Representative Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma. One of the nation's largest Native American tribes is once again being honored for how it reports its fiscal activity. As KGOU's Kurt Gortney reports, the honor is among the highest for any government.
For the 12th straight year, the Cherokee Nation has been given the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. The award comes from the National Government Finance Officers Association. A statement from Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Bill John Baker says winning the honor speaks to the value of Tribal Treasurer Lacey Horn and the entire Financial Resources Department. An impartial panel of judges reviewed an audit of the Eastern Oklahoma Tribe's 2012 financial operations, earning the tribe the award. Horn says the Cherokee Nation is grateful for the continued recognition of the tribe's comprehensive annual financial reports. The Cherokee Nation's Financial Resources Department not only oversees the tribe's operating budget, but also the accounting and maintenance of multiple federal grants, employee payroll, and purchasing. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gortney in Oklahoma City.
A U.S. senator is asking federal officials to include Alaska Natives in plans to combat wildlife trafficking. Senator Mark Begich of Alaska urged the Obama administration last week to consider the potential impacts of ivory bans or restrictions on Alaska Native artists and carvers. In a letter to the Department of Interior, Senator Begich stated that a ban on ivory could impact small businesses and Alaska Native entrepreneurs who have legally acquired ivory. Earlier this year, President Obama created a presidential task force on wildlife trafficking. Senator Begich requested that the task force include Alaska Native leaders in discussions about a national strategy for combating wildlife trafficking. On this day in 1853, the Gadsden Purchase was made. The purchase added southern parts of Arizona and New Mexico to United States territory. Most of the nearly 46,000 square miles were lands claimed by Native Americans. For National Native News, I'm Sarah Gustavus.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Kawanak Broadcast Corporation is accepting art for the Alaska Native Art Auction, February 20th, 2014 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event to buy art. Proceeds benefit National Native News. Learn more at knba.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. This is the last Monday in 2013. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve, and there are things happening in Alaska's capital. So Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show, and I'm going to give you some winter. I'm going to give you some weather. There is a winter weather advisory until 6 p.m. tonight, and I just came in from out the road, and it is dumping snow out there. So what this weather report in front of me says, rest of today is snow mixing with rain near downtown in the afternoon. New snow accumulation to 3 inches, highs around 34, light winds. Tonight, rain and snow. Snow accumulation to 4 inches, lows 29 to 35, light winds. Tomorrow, rain and snow, showers likely, snow accumulation to 2 inches, highs around 35. Tomorrow night, which is New Year's Eve, rain with snow likely, lows 28 to 34, southeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. New Year's Day is rain, highs around 36, and Wednesday night is rain with snow showers likely. So, our next guest is Jessie Herman Haywood. She runs KXLL, and KXLL, K2's sister station, is having a party at the Wharf tomorrow, and Deering and Down are going to be playing. Deering and Down are a great, great band, and here's a little sampling of what's going on at the Hangar tomorrow.
Baby.
Okay, that was Deering and Downs on the radio, and we have Deering and Downs in the studio, which is a surprise to me and a big surprise. They are a great band. I've caught them about three or four times on their many Juno trips here. And one of my favorite pieces of yours is I've got a brand new roller skate. I don't know if what's the proper name of that?
A Melanie song.
Yeah.
Brand new key.
Yeah. Oh, man. These two rock that song.
We saw her a couple of years ago. She was playing in Memphis at the International Folk Alliance. And I thought, she's an iconic level, right? And that was pretty cool. She sounded fantastic. And she had a sense of humor like a good sailor.
I'm Murray Alaskan then. So that's Rib Downs you were just listening to. And then we have Lana Deering.
Thank you, Deering and Downs.
And then we have Jesse Harmon Haywood from KXLL. So let's start with who, what, where, when, and why. Let's talk about the party tomorrow night.
All right. So it's our third annual KXLL block party. Really exciting stuff. We're partnering with the Hangar on the Wharf, and we've got three different music venues all going at once. It's going to be awesome. We've got Deering and Down in the ballroom starting at 9 o'clock. They might have an opening act, Taylor Vidic, who's going to probably sing some awesome tunes, really talented young lady. And then in the Hangar, of course, Hometown Heroes, we've got DJ Astronomar, who's huge right now. He just got back from a world tour. Really exciting stuff, local. And then DJ Shorthand, who's also been DJing in Seattle, doing really cool stuff. And then from Excellent Radio, in the flight deck, we've got DJ Taco Todd, who does Scorcher, Rocksteady stuff, reggae, fun music. So it's all starting at 9 o'clock, three different music venues. It's $5 to get in. Proceeds go to KXLL, just a fundraiser. You know, we're a nonprofit. We got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And then there's pizza slices by the Pizzeria Roma going all night long, music and a champagne toast at midnight and a balloon drop. And I hope to see everybody looking really awesome and great and fun.
That is a great deal.
I'm all in one breath.
I'm ready. I was all in one breath.
I saw that. Jeff's going to be on fire, man. I saw that outfit.
I know.
You got a sneak preview,
We Junoites like to dress up for New Year's. Once a year, we can muster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sequins,
you're extra tough.
Exactly. How you could rock it. So you guys have been together since 98. You have five albums now.
I guess it's five, five, and you know, an EP in there too,
That's great. And you come back to Juno quite frequently, but your base is in Memphis these days.
Right. Yeah, it seems like we're lucky and fortunate enough to get up here, you know, twice or three times a year, and New Year's always being our big kicker, thanks to Excellent and K2 and the Hangar and the whole gang, really, family, and it all happens, so it's a good start to, it's been, what, 3 years now?
3 years, yeah.
3 years, yeah.
That's
so
great.
It's killer. Everyone in Memphis just goes, oh my gosh, we want to come to Alaska and see the snow and hang out with all your friends.
We should get your own gig.
I was going to say bring it on. But
I know, bring it on.
So what's next? So you're here and you're going to play the show tomorrow night. And then what's on the docket? What does Deering Down have on the docket for 2014?
We've been recording some new tunes. We're going to go back and hopefully finish,
Album 3?
It'd almost be like a double album, I think.
It's going to be like a combo. We don't really know what the heck to call it right now. It's kind of like we've both been bringing songs to the, which we've always have done, but now this time it's more like, I don't know. It's just a different approach, and it's kind of refreshing to us, and we might put out an EP, or we might put out an album, but we don't really want to go through all the struggles of having to get the physical copies. It just seems like it's in a world where you don't have to do that anymore.
You can put everything online.
Yeah, just get it out there.
And
Rev's daughter is a beautiful artist, so we hope to have her contribute, you know, with art. And just, I don't know, it's kind of a new world. we've got new paths. Rev's a host on this really great TV show down in Memphis called Diddy TV, and he's been, you know, reaching far and wide with his, you know, humor and good looks and
save some of that basting for the other turkey. No, but actually, Jesse's uncle was on the show that I host, and that was
this really,
Diddy TV. It was Leftover Salmon
That's
was on
really
there,
cool.
And he couldn't believe you just came through town, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
It was like. wow, the world is small and shrinking fast. Yeah. And but it's pretty cool. And then the IBC, the International Blues Challenge, people are coming from all over the world to Memphis. You know, and last year there was people from Paris and Finland and, you know, and, Ukraine, I don't know, Bosnia, you know, just people that dig the blues and have blues bands from all over coming to Memphis for this IBC, International
Blues. When is that? That sounds great.
It's the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, smatterings there on the 24th, I guess, but the big, the shows on Diddy will be the 21st through the 23rd.
In January.
And it's like back-to-back, you know, all over, people from the States and internationally as well. So
that sounds great. So to follow you guys, you know, for the Junoites who don't get enough of you guys, is there a Facebook page? Is there a website?
Definitely. There's Deering and Down Facebook and then DeeringDown.com.
Oh, cool.
And even Twitter, you know, we try and tweet out there, and
I don't know what you people
just
are
give us a call. You can call us too.
Talking about a whole new world. We were just saying that, you know, that so many artists are facing totally different terrain than the traditional or even the not so traditional of the past decade way to make art.
Yeah.
You know, so now you guys could just do what you want, put it up, and we could all just follow you.
Yeah, it's really special.
It sounds great.
It does have its, there's some advantages, and there's also some, you know, it was a kind of more grandiose time, I think, when record companies with, you know, bottomless pockets were putting dough behind albums and stuff. And now the internet's kind of like, I call it the inflammation highway. It's like a big oil slick out there, and it's tough for, you know, things to come up through the concrete or whatever to, you know, And there's just so much information, and some of it's useful.
I agree. I think it's an over-communicated world, and that people follow what they want to follow. But what's great about it is I have you here in the studio right now. I think your band is great. You could leave. I can't go tomorrow night. I have family in town.
Really?
I got to do something else. I know. I've got family in town from Maryland. Got to do something else. But I could just follow you guys whenever I want on the internet. So there are the pros and cons. So I understand what you think. There's definitely the pros of a recording studio, recording company. They took care of everything. You guys showed up. But then there was also all that creative, you know, yin-yang as far as what you could do and what you couldn't do as an artist. So there's pros and cons to everything. But I agree. It's an over-communicated world, and you got to pick and choose what you want to let into your world. And I think Deering and Down is one of those things you got to check out.
What we were just talking about today, like, you know, the Huck Finn, you know, that whole Mark Twain thing about Huck and Tom playing down by the Mississippi River. Now, all the way are those kids and that rope and the tire is no longer there. They're using their Game Boy and everything. You know, it's like staring into a computer screen, you know. So it's, there's, you know, vitamin D does have its attributes, right?
Well, we wouldn't know anything about that here.
Are you from Maryland originally?
We had the nicest summer of our lives.
What was that? We had the best summer of our lives. And yesterday, I want to say, I was out the road. It was a winter wonderland. It was a beautiful, beautiful Alaskan day, which is great because my in-laws were in, and I thought they thought we had lost our minds, so it was nice to have a perfect Alaskan winter day.
Beautiful. Yeah, and the snow, all the rich, beautiful, fluffy snow, it's just, it's killer.
Yeah,
it is.
It
winter
is.
Winter.
It is. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in, and have a great show. I'm going to follow you on Facebook and Twitter and online. And you guys rock. It's a great show. You should. What a deal. $5. You should all be like running down to the hangar tomorrow at 9 o'clock, right?
9 o'clock.
Okay, great. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Woo! Oh, yes.
Okay.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 30th of December, 2013. It's the birthday of the man who said, "I always prefer to believe the best of everybody. It saves so much trouble." Rudyard Kipling, born Bombay, India, 1865, best known for his books Kim and The Jungle Book, 1894. His father ran an art school in Bombay. Kipling grew up there surrounded by Hindu servants in a big house, huge garden, flowering trees. He learned the language. He was allowed to explore the city freely, meet all kinds of people who told him stories and taught him songs. But after a series of typhoid and cholera outbreaks, he was sent back to England to live at the house of a couple who turned out to be much stricter than Kipling's parents. He was thrown in the cellar for violating the rules, once sent to school with a sign on his back that said, "Liar." One of his punishments was to be sent to his room to read the Bible, which he did not mind. He went to work for a daily newspaper for British soldiers. The British were fighting a war with Afghanistan, and he stayed up late at night writing poems about military life, though he himself had never been in a battle. They became very famous, gave him the chance to travel, went back to London, traveled the world for a few years, settled in Vermont, and it was there, in a little cottage surrounded by snow, he began to think about the India of his childhood, and he wrote The Jungle Book. It was on this date, 1924, the astronomer Edwin Hubble announced the discovery of other galaxies. At the time, it was thought that the Milky Way represented the entirety of the universe. But he was using a 100-inch telescope at Mount Wilson in California, the largest telescope in the world at that time, and he was able to distinguish individual stars within a distant nebula and discovered 23 more separate galaxies. And it's the birthday of the novelist and poet Paul Bowles, born in New York City, 1910. His first novel, also his most famous novel, The Sheltering Sky, about an American couple traveling in Morocco, which made Tangier a popular destination for many people. Here's a poem for today by Jennifer Michael Hecht, entitled No Hemlock Rock. Don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. Don't. Eat a donut. Be a blown nut. That is, if you're going to kill yourself, stand on a street corner, rhyming seizure with Indonesia, and wreck it with racket. Allow medical terms, rave and fail, be an absurd living ghost if necessary. But don't kill yourself. Let your friends know that something has passed, or be glad they've guessed, but don't kill yourself. If you stay, but are bat crazy, you will batter their hearts in blooming scores of anguish, but kill yourself, and hundreds of other people die. Poison yourself, it poisons the well. Shoot yourself, it cracks the biodome. I will give badges to everyone who's figured this out about suicide, and hence refused it. I'm grateful. Stay. Thank you for staying. Please stay. You are my hero for staying. I know about it, and am grateful you stay. Eat a donut. Rhyme opus with lotus. Rope is bogus. Psychosis. Stay. Hocus pocus. Hocus pocus. Don't kill yourself. I won't either. No Hemlock Rock, a poem by Jennifer Michael Hecht from her collection, Who Said, published by Copper Canyon Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily online workouts are designed to improve memory and attention and are dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this program comes from listeners like you and Elite Island Resorts, presenting a collection of hotel properties and private villas throughout the Caribbean, including Antigua, Barbados, and St. Lucia. More information at EliteIslandResorts.com.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on Monday, December 30th, the last Monday in 2013. It's 3:25 p.m. We were just talking with Deering and Downs, which was great. They just popped in. They're playing at the Wharf tomorrow night. There's lots of things going on. It's New Year's Eve tomorrow. And here in our studio, we have Lieutenant Chris Sell from the Juneau Police Department and Sarah Hebe, the training coordinator. And before we get into what they're here to talk about, let's talk a little bit about New Year's Eve and drink and driving. Can we do that, Lieutenant Sell?
Oh, yes. Well, we certainly hope people decide not to drink and drive to bring in the new year. I know there are some programs available where people can get free rides. You can talk to your bartender, talk to your friends before you go out. And just to kind of get people's attention towards this issue, Crimeline is offering a double bounty on calling in drunk drivers. And then if the driver is arrested, the person will get $200 for calling it in rather than the standard $100 reward for calling in a DWI driver. So, I mean, I guess if that's, you know, you could watch for intoxicated drivers New Year's Eve.
I guess that is one option. Better option is don't drink and drive.
That would be a better option. We would prefer that.
Right, don't drink and drive. But it seems like what that means to me is what I hear is there's more eyes on the road to find
Correct.
Out to make sure that people are being safe. And if not, there's an added incentive. $200 is a lot of money.
It is. So hopefully we won't have to use that. It would be better if people just took precautions and did not play with that line of driving while intoxicated. But if they don't do that, at least we hope to catch them before they hurt themselves or someone else.
That sounds like a really good plan. And speaking of not hurting yourselves or someone else, the Juneau Police Department is offering a winter safe driving course. Is that true?
Well, the Juneau Police Department is offering the building for the course. The course is being offered by the Alaska Peace Officers Association, and we are fortunate that our brand new president is also the former accident specialist for JPD. She now works for Alaska Police Standards Council. I'm trying to work as many initials as possible into the first few sentences.
I appreciate that you're telling us what they mean,
yes,
though.
So the person from JPD is the APOA president, who now works at APSC, and will be teaching the winter driving course.
So if you think police officers don't have a sense of humor, here's proof that they do. But let's get to the winter safe driving course. So, Sarah, congratulations on your new position.
Thank you.
And so what is this winter safe driving course?
Well, we've done it two times before here in Juneau through APOA. And what we do is just get together and we give information to the people who attend about how to drive safely in the wintertime. It's geared towards new drivers. It's geared towards old drivers. It's geared to people who've been driving for a while or not for very long. Someone who just moved up here to Juneau, that would be a perfect person to show up to. We're going to tell them how to safely drive in the wintertime.
Okay, when does this take place?
Monday, January 6th at 6 p.m. at the Juneau Police Department.
Okay, and is this something where you bring your car? Are you bringing your car? Are people hopping into cars, or is it in a classroom situation?
As much fun as hopping into cars would be, unfortunately, we don't have the facilities for it, so it is just a classroom presentation on safe winter driving.
Okay, and in the past, how many people usually show up for this class?
Well, the first time we had people standing in the room because we were over full. I think there was about 70 people there. The next time, there was a little less, and we had some empty seats. I think there was about 40 to 50, so we're hoping we're about somewhere there.
That sounds great, and it's free. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so I guess, you know, there's all different types of driving conditions. Right now we're under a winter weather advisory until 6 p.m. Out the road, it is dumping snow. We were out there today.
We've had some really poor driving conditions this year, which is one of the reasons we had requests at APOA to do this course again, is that a lot of people have kind of scared the stuffins out of themselves this year.
And that's because of the hovering right at freezing is...
Right at freezing, just a lot of variable conditions. We've seen a lot of vehicles in ditches this year. Sometimes we see the wheels spinning as the car's on its top. So definitely it's been a tough winter for driving.
Okay, so that is a free winter safe driving course next Monday, a week from today, 6 o'clock at the Juneau Police Department. And do you want to explain where that is?
Sure. The Juneau Police Department is in Lemon Creek. So if you're coming from downtown, you take Glacier Highway. If you make it to Walmart, you've gone too far. So come back a block and turn towards the channel, and you will find the Juneau Police Department.
And if you're coming the other way, I guess if you got to the dump, you have to
Yes, if you make it to Western Auto or the turn off to Costco, we'll use just retail landmarks, then turn around and come back.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Congratulations on your new position. And one more time, the Juneau Police Department has a double bounty on their crime line tomorrow. Do you want to explain?
No, crime line is a separate organization.
Okay.
It doesn't have initials, but we're working on that. So crime line is offering a double bounty on people calling in DWI drivers. And we've already had one payout authorized. This has been going on for a little while. So we'll see if we get some more.
Okay. And if you get pulled over and someone drops a lot of acronyms on you, it is Lieutenant Cell. Okay. Thank you so much both for what you do. And we're going to take a short break and be right back.
Thank you. The questions we'd answer if somebody just asked, where did we grow up? What do we remember about home? What about our family? StoryCorps founder Dave Isay thinks it's important that we ask them.
What this is all about is to ask questions and to talk about things you don't normally get to talk about.
I'm Scott Simon. Join Dave and I for Ties That Bind, a celebration of 10 years of meaningful storytelling on StoryCorps.
Wednesday afternoon at 3 on KTVO News, Juneau.
Looking for a relaxed, fun way to celebrate the end of the year? Try the New Year's Eve Barn Dance, Tuesday, December 31st, 7:30 to 11 p.m. at St. Anne's Parish Hall downtown. Jim and Martha Stay and Beth Leibowitz and their band Happy to Be Here will play warm, lively, foot-tapping music that will make you happy to be there, too. And Odette Edgar will teach and call contra and square dances. As always, you don't need any experience or a partner. Discounts for students and seniors, free for SOG and JBs. The New Year's Eve Barn Dance, sponsored by the Juneau Folk Dancers.
Every Alaskan can make a difference when they file online for their PFD. And it's easy to share a little of your PFD in Southeast communities through Pick, Click, Give. There are over 36 causes based in the Juneau-Douglas area alone, including KTOO Public Radio. The application period for the 2014 PFD starts on January 1st. More information can be found at pickclickgive.org.
Hello, you're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News Juneau. I am your Monday host, Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown is at the board. He is the engineer and producer of the show. It's 3:32 p.m., and we have Cam Burns from the Juneau Artist Gallery here in the studio as our next guest. Hello, Cam. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing good.
Good. So first Friday, first Friday of the year, this coming Friday, what's going on at the Juneau Artist Gallery?
Okay, doing something just a little different. Normally on first Friday we would feature an artist and some of their new work, but this Friday we're doing a call for artists. The Juneau Artist Gallery is down a couple of artists. We've had people move on for various different reasons. We've got some empty wall space, so we're opening this up for artists in town who may have been thinking of marketing their work, and this is a chance for them to come down and meet some of the artists down there who are doing this, and find out how it works and see if this is something that might suit them, hopefully take an application and work through the process.
That sounds great. Before we get into the time and, well, the date is this Friday, it's from 4:30 to 7, it's the usual first Friday, but how long has the Juneau Artist Gallery been around? How many artists are usually in this?
It's been around about 22 years or so. It's grown to the space will handle about 25 artists, and we're down a few right now, so we'd like to fill it up. It's a cooperative gallery. You basically pay for a certain amount of space in there. You just kind of have a monthly dues, and then with that, you're required to put in some time working at the gallery and working on our committees, and so it's not like you're an artist just exhibiting your work and you have a boss or something. I mean, we're all the bosses and we all work together to make this a success.
That sounds great. What are the hours of the Juneau Artist Gallery?
Well, we're open basically 11 to 6 year-round, and then longer hours in the summer. We go 7 days a week instead of 5 days a week in the summer.
And then you're a photographer.
I'm a photographer.
And the artists, there's a wide array of artists, is that correct?
Right, yeah. You know, I was putting together a little poster that we put around town and coming up with some of the things. We have silver, ceramics, photography, etching, woodwork, glass, iconography, watercolors, beadwork, gold, oil painting, and other things.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Everything. So
it's not everything.
Let's talk about your work. What kinds of photography, what do you photograph?
Well, I'm a photographer. I also work for one of the guiding companies in the summer. So I'm out with tourists 5 days a week, and we hike a trail through the woods, and then we go out whale watching. So I'm get a lot of chances to go through the woods and shoot everything in the woods, and then get lots of whale pictures, sea lions, sea life, because I'm out there all the time.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's 11 to 6 every day that the artist
every day,
okay.
Yeah. 5 days a week in the winter. We're open year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Monday through Friday?
It's actually Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. Closed Sundays and Mondays.
Right.
And in the summer, 7 days a week.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're an artist and you've been thinking about you'd like to show your art,
come
in a local
down.
Gallery, here's
right.
an opportunity.
Yeah.
You can find
and
out.
As most First Friday events go, it's from usually about 4 till 8 or 8:30, depending on the crowds down there. Being First Friday, we will have all our own work showing and try to make the walls and the display spots look good.
Great. And where yeah. is the Juno Artist Gallery?
It is South Franklin in the Senate Building, right in the heart of downtown, 175 South Franklin Street.
And then if people were interested to find out more, they might be able to find it on the web as well?
They can go. We've got our website, JunoArtistGallery.com. And if they go there, they'll see this poster.
Okay. just waved. Yeah,
I just waved it for the microphone there. So.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then is there information, too, for artists that are interested in a possible partnership?
Yes, there are. And then if you come downtown, we'll hand out information. Not packets so much, but we'll talk you through it and give you a little paperwork. And
actually, talk face-to-face with somebody
face-to-face,
to find out.
Yes,
okay.
And find out what it's really like.
So that's this coming Friday, and that is First Friday in January 2014 at the Juno Artist Gallery. Well, thank you so much for coming by today.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, Juno, our December mobile-friendly gallery walk map was a hit. We're now producing the January map and making it even easier to use. Please send a brief description and a photo of your artist's work to heather@k2.org, and don't forget to use the map at k2.org as you get ready for January's First Friday. That's January First Friday, art pictures and descriptions to heather@k2.org.
This is Bird Note. For birds and other animals with good natural insulation, winter provides a striking benefit as they scavenge. Bacteria function very slowly, or not at all, in the cold, preventing dead bodies from rotting in sub-freezing temperatures. By way of contrast, in tropical Africa, when an animal dies, bacteria quickly attack the body and convert it to a smelly, toxic mess, unsuitable as food for most organisms. Vultures patrol the savanna skies, using their excellent sense of smell to find carcasses before bacteria render them inedible. But in northern latitudes, ravens and other scavenging birds and animals take advantage of winter's cold storage. When a caribou, moose, or deer dies in Canada, Alaska, or other cold place in the winter, it's available to be eaten for months and months. Bacteria must wait until spring warms the carcass before they can begin to consume it. That's why ravens can survive during the winter in the far north. That's why wolverines are in much better shape in the winter than they are in summer. Ravens, magpies, wolverines, wolves, and foxes can rely on carcasses during the winter because the microorganisms are suppressed by the cold. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Okay, you are listening to Juno Afternoon. It is 3:39 p.m. It is KTOO News Juno. So we're going to listen next to Thunder Mountain Big Band. They are playing at Juno Jazz and Classics Swingin' in the New Year event at the Jack. So here's a little Thunder Mountain Big Band.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Russian President Vladimir Putin. And each year I like to listen to Capital Steps, New Year's edition of Politics Takes a Holiday. I sit in Moscow office listening on old Cold War transistor radio. Sure, it barely works, but hey, it still works better than your healthcare.gov website. So please be listening to the Capital Steps New Year's special on this public radio station.
New Year's Eve at 9 p.m. on KTOO Juno.
Okay, we're back, Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He's at the board. I'm Joan Pardis. It is 3:45 p.m. So that's Capital Steps is tomorrow at 9. Tonight at 7 on KTOO is December's Mudrooms event, recorded on Wednesday, December 11th. It has 7 rocking stories, all on the theme of awkward. That's tonight at 7 p.m. So here in the studio, our next and final guests for this edition of Juno Afternoon is Marion Mills and Glenn Ray. Hello and welcome to the studio. And they're both here to talk about a Tai Chi class for seniors. It seems like there's been a grant from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services to teach anyone age 60 or older about Tai Chi. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, Marion, where is the class going to be?
It's out at Greening Park.
Yeah,
in Lemon Creek.
In Lemon Creek. Very generous of those people to lend a really beautiful facility for this purpose.
Oh, is that going to be in the community room at Green Park?
Okay. Yeah, nicely carpeted, well lit, and friendly. I need to say, though, it's not exactly Tai Chi for seniors. It's Tai Chi falls prevention.
Oh,
for seniors,
okay.
So it has a very particular focus.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Sure.
So that's Glenn Ray who's talking. He is the instructor of the course. He's a certified Tai Chi instructor. He's been practicing for 8 years.
About 8 years.
Yeah. And so let's talk about the class. What can people expect?
Well, they can expect, one, I think it's a lot of fun. And in a relaxed atmosphere, the skills that we learn are to do with posture, balance, breath, focus, and that's really taught through a standing form of what's called Qigong, and then there's a walking form of Qigong where you put that together. But everybody's focus is on the Tai Chi because it's a dance-like exercise, very gentle, slow-moving, and with lots of grace. And so people are actually, balance is okay, I'm here for balance, but I really want to do Tai Chi because it's so much fun. So what's it about? It's really about enjoying oneself and doing an exercise program that has very positive consequences to people in my age of life.
Okay. And then we were talking during the break that the Harvard Medical School recently released a guide to Tai Chi.
Yeah. It's about a 350-page volume.
Which Harvard, is why Glenn Ray is the instructor, so you don't have to read that. He could just let you know what you need to know.
Yeah. 3 chapters. The second chapter is chock full of research that the medical school is has written out in that a person like myself and a lay person can understand and appreciate. But it shows what Tai Chi has been able to prove in terms of health benefits and what there might be still a question about. For example, it does not cure diabetes, but it improves many of the symptoms of people with diabetes, such as falls, balance, breath. And
okay, let's talk about what is Tai Chi.
Tai Chi. It can be appreciated in many different ways. Most people think of it as a martial art, and it does have that as its foundation. It's not very old, really. The earliest Tai Chi form of Tai Chi was created around the early 1600s. It's and there's 5 particular styles of Tai Chi. The latest is called Sun. And it was created in the last half of the 1800s. So, but it rests on a long history of martial arts and a long history of what in recent time we call Qigong. But actually, the Qigong is a exercise program that goes back perhaps to 3000 BC. There's relatively good support for that. So in every Tai Chi movement, there's this Qigong and martial arts logic that supports it. So what is Tai Chi? So Tai Chi can also be appreciated as we're doing it here as a kind of a health dance.
and it can be also appreciated as a sports kind of a program, like gymnastics is appreciated, and people can compete against each other and who has the most beautiful form.
Wow. So do you need to be physically fit to do this?
No. And that's no, but the benefit is that after a period of time, a person is, or generally is, more physically fit than when they started. This particular type of form that we're teaching at Greening Park requires a person to have some stability. That is, if a person is using a cane or a walker, it would be difficult or impossible to do. There's a seated form of Tai Chi that goes back, earliest record of that, it goes back to about 400 A.D., but it's not possible to teach the seated and the standing form in the same place at the same time.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, that's Glenn Ray. He's a certified Tai Chi instructor. There is going to be a new Tai Chi class, Tai Chi program to prevent falls. It's going to be Monday and Thursday at 10 a.m. at Greening Park for 10 weeks. And when does this start?
Starts Monday, 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next Monday.
January 6th. Yes.
Okay. And then to register, how do people register or find out more information, Marion?
They would call Carol Camoli, who's the manager of the Senior Center, at 463-6175. And if somebody felt like they couldn't safely drive due to weather or whatever, or in case you anticipate that, I encourage you to call Carol. She can help register you for the caravan, which would be glad to provide that transportation whenever you want to use it. So that's basically anybody who's 60 and older is eligible for this program. And so I encourage people to call 463-6175 to sign up for the class. And this is, I'm going to think it's his fourth class that he's offered in this series. And so he'll have another one in March. If for some reason the class is so full, they can then sign up for the waiting list for the March class. It's very popular, and somebody who took the class previously said, this is an exercise program that you fall in love with. And, you know, people just love this Tai Chi class, and exercise that can build balance and strength and reduce pain and stiffness. It's just amazing.
And it's gentle, is that true?
Very gentle, yeah. Yeah, the idea of the martial arts is a person can learn Tai Chi with the idea of martial arts. It's still much gentler than karate.
Okay. And then in closing, we're going to have to wrap it up because we're running out of time. But how would Tai Chi prevent falls? Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We can talk in terms of benefits that a person gets out of Tai Chi. And those benefits contribute to reducing the risk of falling. And that would be balance, awareness, sense of posture, moving one's weight in a way that is balanced and gives a person a sense of confidence. It could be something like a person getting a better night's sleep, which is also a result of a person exercising this program, who feels more rested and makes better decisions about the walk that they take in the morning across the ice to get to the car. So that would be, focus, breath, balance, confidence. Those are the results.
Sounds great. And obviously, I see Marion shaking her head. There are a lot of happy customers that have come to Glenn's class and just really sing his praises.
I mean, and when I talked to these people after the class, was that the first series?
Yeah.
It was amazing that the testimonials they gave. Reduced my back pain and my stiffness and, just all these great things. Yeah. Increased balance was probably the most popular result we talked about.
This is supported by the Arthritis Foundation for people that have rheumatoid arthritis, particularly fibromyalgia, because people who come to Tai Chi and learn Tai Chi with fibromyalgia report fairly consistently to me that they find a way to manage their discomfort throughout the day by starting their day off with a mild form of exercise. So either the Qigong or the Tai Chi that they use. And same with rheumatoid arthritis.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
That's terrific. Okay, so here we have a grant through the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. We have a class led by Glenn Ray, who's a certified Tai Chi instructor. It's Monday and Thursdays at 10 a.m. at Greening Park for 10 weeks. To sign up, 463-6175. Starts next Monday. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. That was an excerpt of Taylor Vidick's New Year's Dance, produced by former Junoite George Wallace. Taylor Vidick is opening for Deering and Down tomorrow at the Hangar at the Wharf. It's a KXLL New Year's Eve party. $5 gets you in, three different music venues. And then we also listen to the Thunder Mountain Big Band. They're playing at the Jack tomorrow. It's New Year's Eve. We also had Lieutenant Sell here from the Juneau Police Department. Crime Line is paying double bounties. That means if you call in somebody who's driving, who you suspect is driving under the influence, and they actually are booked with driving under the influence, it's a $200 bounty. It's like, wow. So please be careful tomorrow night. Okay, speaking of tomorrow night, let's talk about tonight. We have a winter weather advisory until 6 p.m. Snow mixing with rain near downtown. Tonight, rain and snow. Tomorrow, rain and snow, but snow accumulation up to 2 to 4 inches. Tomorrow night is rain with snow likely. That is New Year's Eve. Tomorrow on KTOO, Juneau Afternoon is going to have a special program, and it is going to be a special intelligence square debate, should we eat anything with a face? That's 3 p.m. tomorrow. I'm Joan Pardis. I am here to wish you a very happy and healthy new year. I'll be back next Monday, January 6, 2014. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He's on the board. You are listening to KTOO News. All Things Considered is next.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators KTOO.